no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show, 60 minutes of radio drama brought to you every Tuesday by RelicRadio.com and made possible by your support. If you'd like to help support this and all of the Relic Radio shows, visit donate.relicradio.com or click on that link the next time you're on the website. Your support makes all of this possible. Thanks to those who have helped out and helped bring us today's episode. We're going to start off with Escape and hear their story from May 31st, 1953, titled A Good Thing. After that, it's The Saint and Simon Minds the Baby, his episode from December 17th, 1950.
Tired of the everyday grind? Ever dream of a life of romantic adventure? Want to get away from it all? We offer you Escape.
Escape, transcribed to free you from the four walls of today for a half hour of high adventure.
You are in the heart of a Philippine jungle, searching out a Negroid village whose people are practiced in savagery and headhunting. While your civilized companion is coldly making his plan to see that the first head taken will be your own.
Listen now as Escape brings you Kathleen Height's exciting story, A Good Thing.
This time, Matthew found me in a filthy flea bag of a hotel room in Manila. Before that, it had been Shanghai, Rangoon, Cape Town. Name your port of call.
Come on, boy. Come around. Come on. Come on, Dan. Dan. Come on, snap to. You really tied one on this time, didn't you?
Well, we've done it before. Here, boy. Catch. Easy. Easy, boy. Easy. No.
Oh, it's you.
How long you been like this? This time?
Too long. You found me.
You always send for me, Dan, in your own unique fashion.
I send for money. Give me the towel over there.
I always check on my investments.
Next time, just send the money.
Won't be a next time here. This time you're going with me.
You know I'm not.
No, I think you'll get a kick out of this, John. I'm going up in the back country of Nueva Ecija. Get material for my book. No expedition, no fancy trappings. Just you, me, and the Igorots.
It's just you and the Igorots.
No, it'll be good for you, Dan. We'll get you in shape. Rest up a bit before we strike out. And we'll get all that stuff boiled out of your system. Might even get you to quit hating yourself. I know, you think you hate me. Maybe you do. All I know is you're my brother, and I'm not going to let you go completely to pieces. Makes you feel great, doesn't it?
It's there when I want it.
Yeah.
And it never talks back. It's printed on the label. 16 full ounces, no platitudes.
Do you have any clothes except those on your back?
A travel light.
Any debts to square? Women to placate before we clear out of here?
You crazy fool. You really think I'm going with you?
Might make it as far as Japan tonight. We'll put up with Cass for a while. He'd like that.
Cass?
Mm-hmm.
You mean Cass Bledsoe?
Sure. He's still around. Must be in his middle 60s by now. He's fatter than ever and richer. I see him a couple of times a year, I guess. Thought maybe you'd forgotten Cass. It's been a long time.
It had been a long time. But Cass Bledsoe was one guy I'd never forget. I used to hang around his plantation near Gapan when I was a kid. My old man was an engineer in the islands. I knew a good thing when I saw it, even then. And Cass had it made, but good. A lot of cheap native labor, all the money in the world. That's what I call a good thing. That's what I'd look for all my life. Brother Matthew, I hated his insides. I always had. It wasn't so bad when he was off somewhere, but when he was around, I thought I'd blow my cork. I hated him that much. He had me this time, though. I was flat broke, and he knew it. I had to go with him.
You see, no one's done exactly the kind of study I want to do on the Igorotes. The lecture can wait till we get to Cass's. Come on, Dan. Admit it's not a bad idea.
I think it's a lousy idea. Go on, Matt. Tell Cass all about it.
Yeah, explain it to me. I've lived on the fringe of the Big Country for years. I never gave a hoot what makes the Igorotes tick.
You stubborn old baboon, you still won't give a hoot even if I do explain it to you.
No, now I'm interested. I really want to know. Do you know, Daniel?
Unlike you, I don't give a hoot.
Dan and I will have to do a lot of talking together before we go in. Well, briefly, the... It's good. The thing that's intriguing about the Igorotes is this. On the one hand, they're a tribe of highly developed skills, mining principally. They live in orderly villages, practice monogamy, and generally lead productive, peaceful lives. But
pass me some.
Yeah, here.
Oh.
Well, on the other hand, some of these same people are thoroughly pagan and practice headhunting.
And you want to know why, got it?
Mm-hmm.
Partly, I want to know where the schism is in the tribe, you know, what makes one group completely diverse from the other. There's a link of development that's just missing, and I want to know what it is and why it is.
And just the two of you are going in there to find out?
Well, I've got a theory that large expeditions marching in, setting up camp and equipment, and, well, they just simply drive the natives farther into the brush. But Daniel and I can go in, make friends with them, and very quietly observe them. They'll get used to us after a while, and I really believe that we can come up with some important data. Anyway, it's worth a try, isn't it, Dan?
That's what you keep saying.
I know, and I don't understand. What gets inside a man that makes him blaze trails, risk his life to track down this data for a book no one but professors will give a hang about? You, Daniel, what drives you to do it?
Matthew. He thinks the other pagans and I will get along just fine.
Well, don't misunderstand me. Pass the pineapple, will you, Matthew?
Mm-hmm.
I admire. Oh, thank you. Whatever it is. Matthew here will tell you. Every time I see him, I marvel at his plans. I listen and admire him all the more, but I never quite understand. All I know is I wish I'd had some of the quality when I was young enough to do something about it.
You're always making me sound like a bloody hero, Cass. I'm not at all. This... The drive, you call it, or something. Well, you're born with it. You're born with it.
Money!
Huh?
Money! And an inherited capacity for doing nothing in a very elaborate fashion. That's what's wrong. Everything was always too dad-blamed easy.
Is that bad? Do things have to be tough? What's wrong with money, especially if someone just hands it to you?
Man needs challenge in his life. I never had any. But thank heavens I can appreciate when I see it. I'd turn this whole blasted plantation over to Matthew in a minute. Just to feel as if I'd done one worthwhile thing in my fat life. But he won't hear of it. And he calls me stubborn.
I'd lose money for you. You know it.
You would not. You'd have 100 innovations going before the first week was out. Ever see him tackle anything and not come out on top, didn't you?
Never in my whole life.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I wouldn't think much of you if you're any different than you are. And if they'd give me the years back and let me have another try...
You wouldn't do it any differently than you have.
All right. I think you're right. But I know this much. I'll never turn this place over to a bum like me either. I'll let Yolo run it first.
Where's Juan? I'd like some coffee.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, guess we all need some. Juan!
Yolo, chef, coffee, sir. Yolo bring fine coffee.
Good, Yolo. And don't forget...
Also bring brandy. Plenty brandy.
Good boy. All round, huh?
Yeah,
sir. Please. Thanks, Yolo. Hi, Yolo. How's the reading coming?
Yolo, very fine read, thank you, sir.
Good. Oh, this is my brother, Yolo. Daniel, this is Cass's prized possession.
Pleased to meet you, sir. Very pleased.
Hello, Yolo.
Yolo, read about Mr. Dan. In a place, Lion's Den?
What?
Lion's Den.
Oh. Tell Daniel what you think of Matthew, Yolo.
Mr. Matt, very fine man, sir.
And what do you think of me?
Mr. Cass, very rich man.
You see, Daniel, I've raised his ingrate as if he were my son. And he thinks more of Matthew than he does of me.
The love feast went on and on and on. Every time Cass took another slug of brandy, he'd hand the plantation over to Matthew again, and warned the boy just kept handing it back. I had time. We were going to stay on with Cass for a few days. And, hard as it was on my insides, it looked smart to come off as a carbon copy of Brother Matthew. The drunker he got, the more old brandy blowed began to look like a good thing to me. A real good thing. I was a model boy those next few days.
Now, if we start out early enough in the morning, Yolo thinks we can make it to... Yeah, to this clearing right here. It's about tomorrow night.
Hmm?
Yeah.
Well, what does Yolo know about it?
Well, this country's the back of his hand. Hasn't Cass told you? Yolo's a Negro. His family still lives back up in the hills.
Okay. So we're here tomorrow night.
Yeah.
When do we hit the first village?
Well, about mid-afternoon the second day. We'll set up headquarters there and work out of there as soon as we know the territory and make a few friends.
Sounds real cozy. All right, guess we're set then,
huh? Mm-hmm. Dan?
Yeah?
You're doing a good job. I'm proud of you.
Thanks.
It's a long time since we've really been brothers. It'll be a good thing this trip.
Yeah, I think so.
There you are! Are you still awake?
Yeah, come on in, Cass. Come in.
I couldn't wake Matthew. Oh, no wonder. Thought we'd just have a little drink together. To the Igaros, huh?
Dan'll have a nightcap with you, Cass. I want to talk to Yolo again and then hit the sack.
All right.
See you in the morning, Cass.
Yeah.
Night, Dan.
Yeah, night. You, sure you need that drink, Cass?
You sound just like him. Pretty sure I don't need it, boy. Pretty sure I don't need most of them, I take. Pretty sure. Here.
Okay. Igorot?
To you. You and Matthew. Safe journey. Safe.
Thanks.
I don't know you like I know him. But you've got something. I can tell. Something. Doers. That's what you are. Amount to something. Never did myself.
Look, you're pretty hard on yourself, aren't you?
Guts. You've got guts, both of you. Guts. Never had any myself. Never.
You've done all right without them.
Listen, boy. Listen. Don't let anything happen to Matthew. Like a son to me. Don't know you as I know him. I know this, though. You're a bad one. A lot of devil in you, like me. Matthew, just like a son to me. Man needs a son. And When you get back, if you get back,
It was like carrying a beach whale, packing him off to his room, loading him into bed. I made him comfortable. If the drunken old fool was shopping around for a son, I'd make it easy for him to find one. Matthew and Cass had one more good-natured exchange before we left the next morning. Cass killed me. Didn't even have a hangover.
It'll be my way or I won't let you go, Matthew. If you're idiot enough to go in and pay court to headhunters, I'll at least have the satisfaction of knowing I sent you in good hands.
But Cass, you can't. Yolo's your right hand. You need him here.
Just let him lead you to his old village. Then he'll come back. Won't you, Yolo?
Yes, sir. Make very fast with Yolo to lead. No trail, very good. Also, help make friend.
Well, you'd be a big help, Yolo, sure, but...
Matthew, I think it's a good idea if Cass can spare him a few days.
I certainly can. Besides, it'll make me feel as if I'm doing something for you. At least you can
All right, but you hurry back to Cass as soon as we're safely in the village, Yolo.
Yes, sir. Yolo understand.
Well, that's better. And you, Daniel, any young man who can lift me and my full load of brandy is worth having around. Anytime Matthew doesn't need you, let me know.
Well, thanks, Cass. I'll remember that.
We will return to Escape in just a moment, but first, highway safety is a state of mind. Yes, the state of the driver's mind. His viewpoint about taking chances on his own and others' lives governs whether or not our roadways are safe or unsafe. With warm weather returning, and this a holiday weekend in many parts of the nation, be cautious, be extremely cautious. Watch your state of mind when behind the steering wheel. Your life depends on it. Others do too. And now, back to Escape.
Yolo picked a path forward through the thick undergrowth, and I kept looking back with the marked signs that would lead me out again when the time came. By evening, Yolo had nosed out a little clearing. We made camp there. I watched Yolo in the firelight. His eyes kept darting out into the night, his head cocked, listening.
Near as I can tell, we must be about halfway between Gimba and Bunga Bun, Daniel.
What does that mean?
Just that tomorrow afternoon should see us in Yolo's home village. You did a good job, Yolo. We wouldn't be this far without you.
Yolo very slow. Tomorrow, do better. You sleep. Yolo watch and listen.
Yolo, what kind of sound does a headhunter make?
No sound. All very quick. Mr. Dan have no peer.
No? Why?
Not have a fine head like Mr. Matt.
That's a dubious honor.
Headhunter think soul in head. See pine head cut off. Make hunter very smart fellow. Put head in ground. Make crops grow.
Well, they won't come after us unless we trouble them. Don't worry about it, Dan. Get some sleep.
Yeah. Apparently, I don't have a thing to worry about. Yolo routed us out and on the trail early the next morning. I got so I could sense the path. Look around at the brush, know where the footing was. We made good time, and by afternoon we could see the village ahead. As we moved closer, Yolo seemed somehow to become warier. His head snapped in all directions at the slightest sound. But finally, he led us into the clear, flanked by huts on all sides. What few natives we saw backed away and disappeared at the sight of us.
They're more frightened of us than we are of them, Dan. Smile. Must smile, show them we're friendly.
Over there, hut my family. We go there.
You go on. Tell him we're friends.
Well, he'll know what to do. What we do is much more important. Just smile now. And don't panic.
In here, this hut, you go in. Hut all empty, you go in.
Come on, Dan.
I hope you know what you're doing.
They'll see we didn't come to harm them. Once they're sure of that, they'll come back. Come on inside.
Yeah. Just keep Yolo handy, that's all.
Don't worry about Yolo. Yolo! Yolo, come back here!
Look at that. Run out on us first chance he gets. Come back here, you dirty...
Come here, fool, Dan! Let him go. He did his job. Now, just calm down.
What are you, a brave man?
It's just that I've been through this kind of thing before. Natives always run fast. Then they steal back to take a look at you. If you convince them you didn't come to destroy them, you're all right.
Yeah, well, I think you're nuts.
Well, I'm not. Now, come on, lie down. Take it easy, huh? I'll keep watch. Dan, we don't have a thing to worry about.
I didn't expect to sleep, but I must have. Because when I opened my eyes again, it was dusk. The brush was alive with sounds, but there was another sound, a rumble of voices out in the clearing. Voices that seemed to come closer to the hut. Matthew stood in the doorway, looking out.
You awake, Dan?
Yeah.
Some of the natives are coming back. It's all right. You stay inside. I'll go out and meet them.
Don't you let them in here.
No, they won't come in. Just stay where you are. And don't make it tough for us.
White man, one big friend. You see? Good. Good. The white man, no knife, no gun. One big friend. Want to meet chief. Meet chief. Head fellow. Make friends.
I stood there with blank faces as Matthew did his great white father act. I took it as long as I could. Blazed away over there. They ran, but I just couldn't stop shooting.
Stop it! Stop it, you crazy fool! Stop it!
I got him out of here, didn't I?
Stop it! Now, give me... Give me that gun, Tom. What's the matter with you? You hadn't done anything? They wouldn't have hurt you?
You're nuts! I told you I thought it was a lousy idea. I didn't ask to come here, you know. Give me back my gun.
Here. You set us back days and weeks. I don't suppose you meant to, but I've worked a long time to get ready for this trip, and you just blew it with half a dozen bullets that should never have been fired.
All right. Tell me all about it on the way back to Cassis.
We're not going back.
We're not sitting here.
No, we'll have to go on to the next village and hope we make it before the news of what you did reaches there.
No, I know you're nuts. If you're smart, you'll clear out of here with me.
Dan, now come on. Just settle down. All right, now. We've made a bad start. We'll start over.
I'm going back. Get used to it.
You can help me if you stay here.
I don't want to help you.
If you'd give it a real chance, this could do you a lot of good, too. Dan, I've got to stay here. I want to. This book's important to me.
Don't tell me what's good for me.
All right, Dan. Have it your way. Go back. I can't stop you.
That's right. I think you're right, brother. I think you've got to stay here.
Well, that's one thing we agree on.
Yeah. You know, I'll sort of like thinking of you out here. It's such a stinking place.
All right, Dan. You've made your point. I think I'll check the supplies.
You never get that far. Mr. Matt, one fine head, huh?
What? Good Lord, Dan. Dan!
I'll write your book, brother. I felt good. Good. Because now all I had to hate was the idea of him. My nerve held until I got to the part about his head. I couldn't do it. All night long, I tried to find a nerve, but I couldn't. By morning, I picked him up, hauled him out into the brush. There wasn't a sign of life. I dug a grave, crammed him into it, pulled the thicket back over it. would make a good story. Everyone would figure him for a hero's death, and that's how he got his, at the hands of headhunters. Two days later, Matthew's weary brother, Bramble, scratched and sick with grief, stumbled into Cass's plantation and told the sad news.
Poor devil. Must have been horrible.
Oh, it was awful. You don't know how awful.
Now, take it easy, son. I know how you feel. But it was his life. He was doing what he believed in.
I want to go back. I want to get a party and go back, clean them all out for what they did.
I know. But you won't. I won't let you. I tried to stop Matthew. I've got to stop you.
I'm so tired, Cass.
And you'll get rest. A long rest. Then we'll talk about plans. Don't try to think now.
No. No, it's no use, Nick. I can't help him now. Any more than I could help a man.
Don't beat yourself, son. You did everything you could. I thought Yolo was the answer. But I guess not.
Yolo. He ran as soon as we hit the village.
And he didn't show up when the trouble started?
No, no. He headed back here like he was supposed to.
I told him to stay in the background. He was supposed to be there when you and Matthew needed him.
He isn't here? He didn't come back?
May have reverted to type. They do sometimes. I thought I was giving my boy some protection.
Cass, I think I'll go lie down. I feel sick.
Sure, son. Sure.
Mr. Cass!
Yola!
Cass! Yola, come back! Yola!
Devil! You promised to watch after them!
Yola there, Mr. Cass. Yola there all the time.
No, you lie. You're lying. I saw you run.
No, Mr. Dan. No. Yola stay. Yola bring back Mr. Matt. Come. You see.
But his head. Daniel, you said...
Head all right. Body dead. All shot. Mr. Dan, no? All shot.
Under the direction of Anthony Ellis, Escape has brought you A Good Thing by Kathleen Height, starring Anthony Barrett as Daniel and John Daner as Matthew. Featured in the cast were Herb Butterfield as Cass and Jack Crucian as Yolo. The special music for Escape is composed and conducted by Leith Stevens. Next week...
You are living in a new and fabulous land, surrounded by all that is generous and kind, while your hosts, heedless of your pleas, are planning, as is the custom of their country, to kill you in a strange and terrible manner.
So listen next week when Escape brings you a fantastic adventure in The Voyages of Sinbad. Tomorrow night, CBS Radio Suspense stars Ronald Coleman in Vision of Death. It's a thriller-diller well calculated to keep you at the edge of your chairs from beginning to end. Also tomorrow night, and most of these same CBS radio stations, don't miss the initial performance on the Lux Summer Theater. William Holden stars in Maxwell Anderson's High Tour to raise the curtain on Lux Summer Theater's new series. This is Roy Rowan speaking. Remember, America now rides to the tune of 25 million auto radios and listens most to the CBS Radio Network.
The Adventures of the Saint, starring Vincent Price. The Saint, based on characters created by Leslie Charteris and known to millions from books, magazines, and motion pictures. The Robin Hood of modern crime now comes transcribed to radio, starring Hollywood's brilliant and talented actor Vincent Price as the Saint.
Hello?
Mr. Templer?
Yes?
Joe Collins, remember me?
Joe, sure I do. How are you, champ? It's been a long time.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, your fight still on for tomorrow night?
Yeah. Say, could you do me a big favor, Saint? Could you come down to the gym right away?
Sure, but what is it?
I'll tell you when you get here. I need to talk to somebody I can trust. I need to real bad.
I'll phone for a cab and be there in 20 minutes.
Oh, thanks, Saint. Thanks.
Oh, don't thank me, Joe. After all, I've got a bet on you tomorrow night. I've got to protect my investment.
You got a bet on me? Call it off, Saint. Call it off.
What?
So long.
Louis, Mr. Templer, your cab is here.
Oh, come on in, Louis. I'll be with you in a minute.
Maybe you should better open the door right away.
Well, why didn't you come in, Louis? The door was...
He's asleep.
Oh? Who's asleep?
Mr. Templer, look down.
Louis, it's a baby.
You are so right.
But why did you bring him here?
I found him here. On your doorstep, Mr. Templer.
Louis, don't you look at me that way.
Who ain't opened his mouth even, Louis?
Well, let's get him inside. You want to carry him?
Maybe you better.
All right.
Up we go.
Oh, he's waking up, Mr. Templer. He's cute.
Yeah, he is. What's your name, old fella?
Johnny.
Hey. He talks.
What's your last name, Donnie?
Donnie,
huh? How did you get here, Donnie?
Donnie.
Here, let me try him, Mr. Temple. I got away with kids. Donnie, tell your Uncle Louie how you got here, huh?
Donnie.
A gold mine of information.
Wait a minute. Look, there's a note pinned on his coat.
I understand that's traditional in such cases.
Donnie.
Oh, just a minute, Donnie. Here. Please, please, keep him for a few days and don't tell anyone. Not even the police.
Sounds like trouble, Mr. Templer.
Yes, it does.
Well, I guess you won't be needing my cab now, huh?
Oh, hey, the champ, I forgot. Louis, how are you as a babysitter?
Who, me? Oh, no, wait a minute, Mr. Templer. I'm a cab driver. You can't drive while you sit. My local's got rules.
I'll be back in an hour, Louis. Well, just to make it official, I'll borrow your cab.
Hey, what are you... Well, it looks kind of funny on you at that. Hey, look at the funny man with the hat, Donnie. Huh? Isn't that funny?
No! I'll see you later, Louie.
Come on, kid. Use a little more left there. Get your shoulder into it. That's it. That's better.
Excuse me, but where could I find Joe Collins?
Hold it a minute there, kid. Hold it. The champ?
Yeah.
Well, he's right there, my friend, on the table. We're getting a rubdown.
We?
Yeah, Chadwick. The name's Sam Chadwick. I'm the champ's manager.
Oh, I'm Simon Templer. Joe said he wanted to see me.
Well, we did, eh? Well, I don't remember us doing that. Well, let's go in. Come on, let's go in. Take a blow, kid. I'll be right back.
How's Joe feeling?
Oh, we're in the greatest shape of our lives. The greatest. That Fish Shelley hasn't got a chance tomorrow night. Don't belong in the same ring with us.
Two against one hardly seems fair.
Two against... Oh, yeah. Well, here we are, Mr. Templer. Hey, champ, you know this gent?
Sure. How are you, Saint?
I'm good, Joe. Have you been?
In the pink, the absolute rose-colored pink.
I've been all right. That's enough, George. Thanks.
Hey, you want to talk now, Joe? Got here as soon as I could.
Talk? What about? We got anything to talk to Mr. Templer about, champ?
Saint, the fact is, well, I'm sorry I called you. It was a mistake.
It sounded pretty serious, Joe.
Well, I guess I'm worked up for the fight tomorrow night with Michelle. You get, well, jumpy. It's the training that does it.
Yeah, sure, that's it. We're on edge, you know. Race a sharp condition. We always get this way right before a fight. What else is the sign?
Shut up, Sam. Sorry I bothered you, Saint. I'm sorry.
If you're sure you don't need me, I guess that's it.
Yeah, sure. And look, if you want to make yourself some easy money, Mr. Templar, sock it on the champ to win tomorrow night. We won't even draw a deep breath.
I've already got my money down, Mr. Chadwick, on Joe.
Ah, that's great. That's the greatest cinch bet of the entire
season.
Shut up,
Sam. Saint, call off your bet.
No. I think you're a pretty good man, Joe. In the ring and out. Morning, Louis.
Hi, Mr. Templar. Came over as soon as I got your call.
Mm.
How are you?
I'm not so good.
A heavy responsibility being a father.
Yeah, I'm getting some help, fortunately. I phoned an employment agency, sent over a nurse.
That's a shrewd move, Mr. Yeah. Templar. There's nobody quite has a woman's touch like a woman has. You know what I mean?
Well, it's deep, but I'll figure it out. Come on in and see Donnie.
Where is he?
In bed.
Oh, keeps pretty late hours.
You'd be tired, too, if you said Donnie 15,000 times a day.
Donnie!
How are you, Donnie, old man, huh? You feel like talking this morning? Huh? Watch me. Watch me get some information out of him, Mr. Temple. You just got to be firm.
Yeah, well, I wish you luck, Louis.
Donnie, what's your last name? Who brought you here? Where are you from? Huh?
Donnie.
Yeah, at any rate, he's consistent. Oh, that must be the nurse.
Mr. Templar?
Yes, come in.
Thank you. I'm Miss Barton, Mr. Templar. The agency sent me over.
Right in here, Miss Barton. Miss Barton, this is my friend Louis.
How do you do?
And your charge, Donnie.
Hello, Donnie.
Well, he seems to approve of you, Miss Barton.
Ah, he's beautiful, Mr. Templar, don't you think so?
Louis and I consider him one of the most beautiful babies we have ever seen. Right, Louis?
Right. Talks fluently, too, says Donnie.
Come here, darling.
I'm going to have to go out for a while, Miss Barton. Miss Barton.
What? Oh, excuse me, Mr. Templar.
I said I'll have to leave for a short while, and I'll be back. We can discuss arrangements then, huh?
Arrangements? Oh, anything will be all right, Mr. Templar. Anything at all.
Well, I'll call if I'm more than an hour. Goodbye. Goodbye, Donnie.
Donnie.
Hey, tell your Uncle Louie goodbye, Donnie.
Donnie.
Well, better than nothing. Where to, Mr. Templar?
I want to go see Kid Fischel, Louis.
Well, the guy that's fighting Collins tonight.
Huh? Yes. I wasn't at all satisfied yesterday that Joe Collins didn't have something to tell me. Something going on there.
Mr. Templar, you got Donnie. How many mysteries can you handle at one time?
Sometimes one and one can be added together to get one, Louis.
What does that mean?
Just a hunch, as yet.
Oh. I thought they came out with a new multiplication table. I ain't even learned the old one yet. Well, shall we be off, Mr. Templar?
There is an obvious answer to that, Louis, which I shall spare you. Let us, by all means, be off.
Yes?
My name is Templar, Simon Templar. They told me down at the desk this was Kid Fischel's suite.
It is. Come in. Thank you to desk school, Mr. Templar. One of the kid's sparring partners.
How are you, chum?
How do you do?
My name is Alexander. Fritz Alexander.
You manage Kid Fischel?
I look after him. And very well, too, eh, Frankie?
The best, Mr. Alexander.
Can I see the kid, Mr. Alexander?
Unfortunately, right now, he's sleeping. Go down to weigh in for the fight in an hour.
Well, then perhaps I can talk to you about the fight, huh?
It would be a pleasure. I can discuss the kid by the hour and never tire. I'm quite fond of him, you see. He's a perfect young machine. Strong, healthy, handsome. He wants the championship. He shall have it. Nothing can stop him.
You sound quite confident.
I am. If I didn't think he could win, I wouldn't send him into the ring tonight. I wouldn't take a chance on his being hurt. I won't have him hurt, you understand?
Don't worry, Mr. Alexander. He ain't going to get hurt.
Yes. You see, Mr. Templar, I can become quite emotional over the kid. Usually I'm not an emotional man.
I see. And does Joe Collins know that the kid is not to be hurt?
He knows.
You telling me that the fight is fixed?
Hey, watch your mouth, chum.
I'm not telling you anything, Mr. Templar. But whoever you are, whomever you represent, remember this. The kid wants the championship. And he shall have it. Because I find pleasure in giving the kid what he wants. And if anything or anyone stands in my way... No, Mr. Templar. I refuse to be worried by you. The kid will not be hurt. Good day.
Mr. Alexander said good day, chum.
Thank you for interpreting, Frankie. And Mr. Alexander, my money still rides on Joe Collins.
In that case, Mr. Templar, I hope you can spare it.
Good day.
So long, chum.
Mr. Templar, Mr. Templar, I've been looking for you.
What is it, Louis?
I called your house to check if everything was all right, like you told me, and Miss Barton said Sam Chadwick had been calling, wants you to call right away.
Hey, that's Joe Collins' manager, Louis. Wonder what he wants.
I don't know, but it's supposed to be urgent. Here's the number, and there's a phone booth out here by the elevator.
Oh, thank you, Louis. Hello, Mr. Chadwick?
Yeah, who's this?
Simon Templar, Mr. Chadwick.
Oh, Mr. Templar, hey, I've been trying to get you. I've been trying to get everybody that Joe knows. The champ is gone.
Gone? Gone where?
I don't know. There's 50,000 already in the box office for the fight tonight, and he walks out. He can't do this.
You mean we can't do this?
You're in on it, too?
Oh, skip it. Have you got any idea where Joe went to?
I think he went out to get blind. The guy must be crazy. I'll find him, will you, Mr. Templar? You got to.
Well, I'll do what I can.
I'll pay anything. Anything. Within reason, that is. The fight has to go on.
Well, I'll do what I can. This is one fight I wouldn't like to miss.
This must be about the last bar in town, Mr. Templar. I ain't hit so many bars since the night my nephew went into the Navy.
Well, if we don't have any luck here, I'm about ready to give up, Louis. Well, come on, let's give it a try.
Yeah. You see him?
No, Yeah, I do. Down at the end of the bar.
So you look sober?
I don't know. You wait here, Louis.
Yeah.
Hello, Joe.
Huh? Oh, hello, Saint. What brings you here?
Looking for you, champ. You been drowning your troubles?
No, I started to, but... No. I'd forgotten I was champion, and when you're champ, there's a pride that goes with it. I'd forgotten I had that pride.
Care to tell me what's wrong, Joe?
I'll tell you. Sure. Maybe I should have told you yesterday, but things got very bad after I phoned you.
How bad?
I can't win this fight tonight, Saint.
You can't beat Kid Fischel?
I can't try to beat him. They won't let me. They got my son.
Huh? Who's they, Joe?
Alexander, I guess. He had somebody do it. I knew he was a little crazy, but I didn't think he was that crazy. I guess Marie was in on it, too.
Marie? That isn't your wife.
Was my wife. She left me right after the kid was born 2 years ago. She's no good.
And if you don't let Fischel win tonight...
Yeah, it's nice, isn't it? What can I do, Saint?
Joe, what's the name of your son?
Don... Donnie.
Come on.
Where? What for?
I'll explain in the cab, Joe. We've got to get to my place right away. This way, Joe.
Right behind you, Saint.
Look, Mr. Templar, the front door is open.
Donnie. Donnie, boy, are you here? Donnie!
Wait a minute, Joe.
What?
Behind that couch.
That's Miss Barton.
Oh, no. Marie.
Marie?
Yeah, Donnie's mother, Louis. Joe's wife.
Marie. Marie.
She hurt bad?
I don't know.
Here, now, let me help you, Joe. I'm afraid.
No. Marie, can you hear me?
Oh, Joey, I didn't know what they were doing until yesterday. I got Donnie and left him here where he'd be safe. This morning, I took the place of a girl who was sent over as a nurse, but I guess they followed me.
Who did? Alexander?
No, no, not him. He sent somebody. They took Donnie. I tried to stop them, but they...
Where did they take him? Do you know?
I think the training camp on the river, right above Milford.
I know the one.
Joey.
Yes, Marie.
Isn't Donnie the most beautiful boy you ever saw?
Marie.
I know that this is what all mothers say, but isn't he really?
He is, Marie.
And Joey, when he gets old enough, will you just tell him that his mother loved him very much? Just that, not all the rest.
Just that, Marie.
Thanks, Joey. You're a...
Marie. I'm sorry, Joe. She gave her life for Donnie.
Yes, she did. Now we've got to find him.
I'll find him. And if they've done anything and...
No, Joe. If you do find him, they might. Well, look, I'll go after him.
I'll go along, Mr. Templer. I don't like the guys that did this.
Thanks, Louie. You better go down to the arena, Joe, and we'll let you know as soon as we can.
All right. I guess it wouldn't be much use in finding Donnie. I'd probably put him in more danger.
Joe, do you want me to...
No. No, I'll look after Marie. She was my wife.
This looks like the place, all right, Mr. Templer. You want to look through that window where the light is?
All right, Louis. Come on.
Sorry, twig.
Oh, we'll keep down, Louis. I'm going to take a look.
What did you see?
This is it. Donnie's in there and that pug, Frankie, that I met with Alexander.
You think we can take him?
I think so. He's listening to the radio. Come on, let's see if we can get in the back way.
If you say so, Mr. Templer.
Come on. You got that tire iron, Louie?
Not only have I got it, I love it like a brother.
Good. Here's the kitchen door.
Is it open?
Yeah, we're in luck. Come on in, Louie. Quiet.
And here at ringside, we're watching the introduction of various celebrities by the ring announcer before the Collins Bishel title go. Pat Novotny, clever young welterweight from Syracuse, has just been introduced from the ring, gets a nice hand, and now there goes...
I spar with a guy 2 months, and the night he's to win the title, I'm playing nursemaid. What are you laughing about?
Oh, darling.
Shut up.
Louis, stand beside the door. I'll try to get him out here in the kitchen, and when I do...
Just get him out here, Mr. Templer. I'll take it from there.
And here goes.
Hi, Frankie.
What? Who's that?
You've got company.
Who's in there?
Little boy Blue.
Wise guy, are you? Well, you'll end up so full of holes that you'll look like a...
Bullseye, Louie.
That was for Marie, Mr. Templer.
Yeah, to keep him quiet until the police get here.
Maybe I should give him another one for myself.
Yeah, I know how you feel, Louie, but no. Let's get Donnie and get out of here, huh?
Sure, Mr. Templer.
How are you, Donnie? Glad to see us?
Yeah. Say hi to your Uncle Louie, Donnie.
Hey, Donnie.
Can't you say hi? Hi.
Hi.
Hey, I learned him a new word. How about that, Mr. Temple? Now he can say two words.
Yes, you have a way with you, Louie.
Sure. Now, what do you say to Uncle Louie, Donnie?
Oh, hi.
That's it. And what's your name, Donnie?
Hi.
Louie, you should have given up while you were ahead. Come on.
You can't go in there. That's the champ's dressing room. Nobody allowed in.
Fight's not over, is it?
Not yet. Sixth round, but Collins has taken an awful pace, and I was just up there.
Look, kid, get this straight. There isn't much time. Go up to Joe Collins's corner. Tell him Simon Templer has Donnie here safe. Have you got that?
Sure, but I can't go up there and
tell him... Here, look, does this persuade you?
Yes, sir, Mr. Templer. Thank you. I'll tell him right away.
Okay. Come on, let's go in and sit down, Louie. Donnie's about all in.
Yeah, look at him. He can't keep his eyes open. Yeah. Why couldn't we go right up to Joe's corner ourselves, Mr. Temple?
Couldn't risk it with Donnie. I couldn't tell what Alexander might do.
Oh, yeah, sure. Ooh, poor Joe. You think we got here in time?
I don't know, Louis. I don't know.
Guy must be taking a beating and can't fight back.
Yeah, but he can now.
If he's got anything left to fight with. Quiet up there now.
Must be the end of a round. Mm.
See, that crowd noise, I never heard it from down here. You know, it scares you.
It should, Louis. The voice of the mob howling for blood. Same voice that howled in the Colosseum at Rome 2,000 years ago.
For whose blood, the champs or for shells?
Mob doesn't care, Louis. Just blood.
Yeah. Scares you. What makes people go to these things, Mr. Templer? Will they ever stop?
Well, they go because this is an allegory of their own lives, Louis. They'll stop when their lives cease to be conflict and pain.
And when will that be?
It's a good question. Hey, fight's starting up again.
Yeah, that means the champ is still on his feet anyway. Come on, Joey boy, come on, come on. Hey, is it wrong to root, Mr. Temple?
We're all part of the crowd, Louis, one way or another.
Yeah. Oh, something is happening up there. They don't yell like that for nothing. Come on, come on, Joey. Come on, Joey. Do it. You can do it, Joey. Donnie's down here. You can fight now, Joey.
Careful of that tire iron, Louis.
Oh, sure. I'm sorry. Yeah. Come on. The straight left, champ. Come on, the straight left in the face, Joey, then cross with the right. Oh. What am I talking about? I can't even see him.
Come on, Joey. Come on.
Yeah. You too, Mr. Temple.
Yeah, me too, Louis.
Something happened, Mr. Temple. That was too short for a round. That was a knockout.
It was, Louis, but who?
Yeah, who? Oh, keep everything crossed, Mr. Templer. Fingers, toes, eyes, everything.
Maybe he didn't get our message, Louis.
Mr. Templer, don't say that.
We'll soon know. Sounds like people coming down the hall outside.
Yeah, but Joey couldn't have won. He would have had too much taken out of him. He couldn't have come back.
Hey,
we took him, Mr. Templer. We took him.
Oh. Clear everybody out of here, will you?
Yeah, you heard us, everybody out. Come on, give us a chance to get our breath, will you? Everybody out. Come on. Hello, will you, fellas? Come on, spring.
That's it.
All out, champ. Hey, that was a great fight. I thought it was even better than the one we fought against Babyface. Oh, boy, am I proud of us, Joe.
Thanks, Sam.
Yeah, well, you can excuse me now. I got some dough to collect.
Donnie,
come on now. Wake up and say hello to your daddy.
No. Now let him sleep, Saint. I'm not very pretty right now. But you should see Fischel.
You clobbered him, champ?
Good. He was a very surprised young man.
Yeah. How about Alexander?
I don't know. I didn't see him after it was over. I rushed right down here.
And I'd better get the police on his trail. He might be able to get away if I don't tell them to...
Alexander.
Joe, did you think you could get away with it? And Joe, did you think I'd stand by and see you...
That gun must be heavy, Mr. Alexander. You better put it down.
No.
The police won't like your negative attitude.
What do I care? After what he did to the kid, do you think I care any more about anything?
The kid will be all right. He was just knocked out.
Just. That beautiful physical machine, blooded, battered, stretched out in the dirt. Oh. Do you think the kid can ever feel the same again? Do you think I can ever feel about him as I did? He had the championship. Had it. Before Collins double-crossed us.
That's one way of looking at it.
Why didn't you keep out, Mr. Templer? Why?
Put the gun away, Alexander. You haven't a chance.
Maybe I haven't. But neither have you, Collins. I warned you not to hurt the kid, but you wouldn't listen.
You're a sick man, Mr. Alexander.
Perhaps I am. Perhaps the world is sick and I'm well, but I know what I'm going to do. You first, Collins. You know how the kid felt.
Mr. Alexander, I'm afraid you'll have to take care of me first.
Stop where you are, Templar. Don't come any closer. I warn you once more, Templar, and then I'm going to...
All right, Louis. Nice work.
Lucky I kept this tire iron.
Yeah.
You know, I think he was serious.
I don't think there's much doubt about it. A very twisted man, Mr. Alexander.
Hey, look. Donnie's awake. You got a smile for your old man, Donnie.
Oh, Donnie, hi.
Hey, he knows a new word. How about that, Saint? Ain't that some kid?
He's another champ, Joe.
Oh, he'll be a champ in something. Not in this racket, but something good. Something he can take a real pride in.
He'll be proud of you, Joe.
He'd be proud of his mother, too. After I tell him about her.
Just a minute.
Hi, Mr. Templer.
Well, look who's here. Hi, Donnie.
Champ, let me take him out for a walk. Hey, you know what, Mr. Templer? I've been teaching him all sorts of words.
Honestly, Louie?
Mm-hmm. The smartest kid there is. Watch this now, Mr. Templer. Watch. Donnie, what's my name?
Wooly.
How about that? Some smart kid, huh? That's not all. Now, watch this. Donnie, what's Mr. Templer's name?
Wooly.
Something go wrong?
No, wait just a minute. Wait a minute. Donnie, Mr. Templer's name?
Wooly.
All right, something else. Donnie, where do you live?
Wooly.
Donnie, what's your daddy's name?
Wooly.
No.
Wooly.
Goodbye, Mr. Templer.
Goodbye, Louie.
You have been listening to another transcribed adventure of The Saint, the Robin Hood of modern crime. Now here is our star, Vincent Price.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are certain things in our daily life which we take for granted. Only when we are deprived of them do we realize what precious commodities they really are. Air may become the most vital thing in the world to the suffocating man, and water to the thirsty one. In the same way, freedom, when it is missed, suddenly becomes life's greatest treasure. In this country, we possess freedom. It is part of us. It is our American heritage. This liberty, which we so casually accept, was created and nurtured. It didn't just materialize. And so Americans are justly proud of their heritage, and much of the world around us is fascinated by it. If we are to justify our own pride and the yearnings of those in other countries, we must make this freedom a personal thing. We must take it as it was handed to us and preserve it. Preserve it with conscious effort. That is our job as Americans, as free men. For freedom is everybody's job. This is Vincent Price inviting you to join us again next week at this same time for another exciting adventure of The Saint. Good night.
This Adventure of the Saint was written by Dick Powell. In our cast, you heard Larry Dobkin as Louie and Mary Shipp as Marie. Sheldon Leonard played Sam and Bonnie Phillips Joe. Donnie was Jerry Hausner and Victor Rodman Alexander. Frank Gerstle was Frankie. The Saint, based on characters created by Leslie Charteris, is a James L. Safier production and is directed by Helen Mack. Vincent Price is soon to be seen co-starring with Errol Flynn and Michael Imprell in William Marshall's production of Bloodline. All you Saint fans will be glad to know that the Saint comic books are now on all newsstands. Your announcer, Don Stanley. Three chimes mean good times on NBC. Who's on the big show tonight? Well, listen, Bob Hope, Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis, Rosalind Russell, Frankie Lane, Dorothy McGuire, Louis Armstrong, Meredith Wilson, and glamorous, unpredictable Tallulah. No wonder it's the big show. And Sunday evening also means another outstanding production by Theater Guild on the air. Tonight, it's Boomerang, starring Kirk Douglas. Remember, Bob Hope and Martin and Lewis join the big show today on NBC.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. Hope you enjoyed it. Find more from The Saint, Escape, Relic Radio Show, and all the other podcasts at RelicRadio.com. There's thousands of other old-time radio episodes available there as well, and our Shoutcast stream. Don't forget to help out if you're able. Visit donate.relicradio.com to do that. Thanks again to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. Be back next Tuesday with another hour of the Relic Radio Show.